My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day. For me, my brother and sister, and for countless others, it will be bittersweet having lost our mothers in 2020 and 2021. It will also be a time to reflect on how our mothers shaped our lives, the lessons they taught us, and the examples they set. There are also millions who are caring for elderly and infirmed mothers and fathers, returning the love they received as children. This year, an estimated 6.2 million Americans age 65 and older are living with Alzheimer's disease. The changes in their habits and communications can make celebrating Mother's Day with them a great challenge to their children. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, spiritual leader and renowned speaker Sister Jenna, credits her mother with Alzheimer's to be her main spiritual influence and accepts her as who she is and respects all her differences and changes. The founder of Brahma Kumari's Meditation Museum 1 and 2, Sister Jenna is a practitioner of Raj Yoga Meditation. Sister Jenna is the recipient of numerous awards and proclamations, including the President's Lifetime National Community Service Award, Everyday Hero Award by the Foundation for Better Life, and the Friendship Archway Awards. Her syndicated radio show, America Meditating, is a conscious and humanitarian radio show that engages conversations that provide listeners with inspiring ways to master the challenges we encounter on the journey of life. Her websites are americameditating.org and meditationmuseum.org, and she joins me this week to share her path. Sister Jenna, please tell us about your path and how your mother, Sister Gita, shaped your spiritual development.
Wow. I mean, that's a big story. But let me put it in context. My mother's energy. At the age of 7, she lost her parents in the famous Kendall train crash in Kingston, Jamaica. And even though she and her siblings were left alone, they finally found them. And she, being the elder sibling, had to go to identify her dead mother's body. And in those days, it's a developing country now, and things are different. She had to walk over all these dead bodies to try to find her mother. And the irony was, she always had this psychic, intuitive nature about her. But at 7 years old, the adults weren't listening to her because she kept telling the people, "My mom's not here. She's in a ditch. She's in a ditch." Because apparently the story goes that when she was sleeping, she could feel the accident. She felt her mother passing away, and she felt that her mother was thrown from the train and ended up in a ditch. Needless to say, she never found her mother's body, but the scar of stepping over hundreds of dead bodies definitely created her journey and definitely created mine. So where she ended up in orphanages after orphanages and some men who didn't have very good intentions for little girls, she would protect her younger sisters and make sure that they weren't in harm's way, and she would take the brunt of that storm. So I don't have to tell you what happened. So you can imagine there was a courage about her. There was a strength about her. And I know that is what I have seen in her growing my whole life. And so when she came into her path of spirituality with the Brahma Kumaris, I was about 17. And I just knew this was a soul that was just so bruised and broken and so angry. And she had to be to defend herself. But after 6 or 7 months with the Brahma Kumaris, she changed, everyone. I had seen her be a Rastafarian. She had become a Muslim. Her background was Roman Catholic. She tried Hinduism. She went to Buddhism. She went to Judaism. And I just thought it's just a matter of time until she leaves the realm of Kumaris, but she never did. So the way she shaped me, everybody, is that knowing the broken, shattered childhood she came from, I don't know how she raised me and was able to protect me from the harm that she had gotten accustomed to. And somehow she protected me and made me live what I might say is a healthy life. I mean, maybe in another 10 years, I might define it differently, Victor, but she has been my greatest inspiration because I don't know how she didn't end up a statistic on the streets. And she ended up uplifting so many hundreds of thousands of lives. She's really my hero.
What a powerful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Getting back to her path for a moment, why do you think she tried so many different traditions to find her spiritual home?
Well, definitely the bruise, the hurt, the fear, wanting to find a father figure that would protect her, wanting to find a mother that would nurture her. And then, of course, you seek that in your spiritual search. You try to find God in a way that could comfort the sense of voidness or loss that perhaps this poor soul was feeling growing up as a child just on her own, no relatives, nobody to fend for them whatsoever. She just had to fend for herself. So I think her search for God in whatever way she could find it was her life's calling. And you want to hear the irony to this, Victor, is she blamed God for taking the life of her family. So there is this love and hate thing, like, really, did God do this or is this karma? You know, how do I sort this through? So, yeah, she's an interesting energy, to say the least.
So she found Brahma Kumaris. She found a home there, a spiritual home. And then how did she bring you into that spiritual home?
I just saw her. I saw her in action, and I was living with her as a teenager. So she came to the Brahma Kumaris when I was 17. So looking at her changing in front of my eyes in 6 months, that's how I became introduced to the Brahma Kumaris. But at that time, I'm not interested in anything spiritual. I'm a regular, happy-go-lucky, half Indian, half Black American kid. I have no interest to meditate or do yoga or any of that. That was for the birds. And so for me, it wasn't interesting for me, but I was supporting her, everyone. But in my early 20s, at about 24, is when I had the spiritual awakening. And then I realized, oh, this was what mom must have felt. This is incredible. And the spiritual awakening was, I didn't see myself in the mirror like I used to. I started to see more the character than the body.
Please share the meaning of Brahma Kumaris and the history of the movement.
It's a woman-led movement at this time. It's extremely large with 9,000 branches in 120 countries. But right now, the Brahma Kumaris' sole tenet is that it's this container for anyone who really wants to do the work of self-transformation. And especially when we're looking at the conditions of the world, when we look at what's happening in India. In India right now, my friend Kanu Priya, who was a Bollywood actress and who interviewed me on so many shows, she just passed away. And I've been with her daughters now every day. And their daughters for this Mother's Day will not have their mother. You know how devastating that is? So with this particular period that we're in, the Brahma Kumaris offers us the insight to consider yourself a soul, and the soul never dies. Remember God, the Supreme Soul. Pull power from God and use that power to perform elevated actions, actions that will not give sorrow or take sorrow. And that's the basic fundamental principle and teachings of the Brahma Kumaris. And after doing that for a long period of time, you'll recognize the change within you starts to initiate the change in others.
As you mentioned, unlike other spiritual movements and faiths, women play the prominent role in the Brahma Kumaris practice. How has this approach made it different?
I think there's a lot of nurturing. There's a lot of patience. There's a lot of sense of, you know, we've been in this together. We know what to do. there's a feeling that it's the future. You feel that in the community of women leadership, you know that the next age will be a matriarchal age, and you feel like you're in the preparation mode by being around so many of these women leaders who all carry such a kind of a spiritual power and integrity that it really inspires you and gives you hope for the future of humanity.
What is the practice of Raj Yoga meditation like, and how does it differ from other forms of meditation?
It is more a mental yoga, an intellectual yoga, but it's deeply connected to thoughts. Whatever you think, you become. Whatever you think, you feel. Whatever you think is going to offer you some insights into your motives and your intentions. And so when you look at the teachings of Raj Yoga, it's really the highest form of spiritual practice in the path or the hierarchy of yoga. And it really says, gain wisdom, gain insight on who you are. Recognize that you're not the body, but you are a soul playing a part through the body. And don't be attached to the part, but be attached to God. So you bring those virtues into the part. And then that begins to not only make you into a Raja or a master, but it begins to create the harmony that the world is looking for. The world right now is in such turmoil. So imagine if everyone studied Raja Yoga and mentally gained their powers back. We can actually soften the kind of a severity that we're witnessing, India, Africa, America. But we need to make the change inside of ourselves in order for that to occur. And Raja Yoga meditation says, turn the attention back to you. What do you have to change? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Is it connected to peace or not?
And in the practice, what are the steps that you use to get into the meditative state?
There are 7 stages that we practice. One is to know, who am I, the soul? The second is, who is God, the supreme soul? The third is, where does the soul come from and how do we understand the connection to source? It's like known as the 3 levels of consciousness. So in the meditation, we guide people to come from the place of the soul, the energy behind your eyes, and then raise your vibration until you can feel God as the ocean of love purifying the soul. And then we see in the stage 4, everything seems so cyclical, as if everything starts with a very pure energy, but when it stops being nurtured or nature just takes its course, it goes through a stage of a golden, silver, copper to iron age, which means from completely full, we start to become empty. And so virtues and values wane, and they get replaced by an acronym that I use regularly called ALGI. A for anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, and E for ego. And so when we get into that mode where we start to feed the algae, we're in that iron aged stage of body consciousness. So we need to reconnect to the source in order to remove that vibration. Then, you know, the other 3 classes are about how are we all connected? Why is it that so many religions have similar philosophies? Then what is the seed? It's God. Then we look at the 8 spiritual powers of Raja Yoga, the power to discern, the power to pack up beautiful lessons that we offer. And then we also really look at the tree of life and go through this process of how the tree of humanity proves we're all connected and no one's isolated. And then the last session is, where does this knowledge come from? It comes from a heightened state of connection to the source, to God. And once the soul recognizes that and understands it, then it lives this life. It's not just sitting in meditation for 20 minutes or 15 minutes in the morning, but then it walks, moves, cooks, works, runs multi-million dollar business, knowing that it is the soul that's playing the part and it is the soul that's responsible for its actions.
You have generously shared a meditation with us to play today entitled Letting Go. Please tell us a little about it.
I think it's time for us to release the attachments we have to our labels, our gender, our religion, the roles that we play. And why this meditation has been so important to me is that it's going to help us to regain the kind of an energy and power that we are. It's just that the power is not there because the attachments continue to get in the way and reduce the natural power that the soul is. So letting go is to guide us to just releasing this familiarity to saying, I'm Black, I'm Indian, I'm Christian, I'm Jewish, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm Democrat, I'm Republican. No, you are a peaceful and pure soul. And if you can recognize that identity, then you say, I happen to be playing the part of a woman who's a Democrat and who's half Indian and half African, just giving you an idea. Then that brings a whole different sort of a culture to the planet if you can come from that place of soul consciousness. So letting go is about taking you back home to your real identity.
And shared by Sister Jenna, letting go.
Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you. And you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time,
Sister Jenna, that was absolutely lovely. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you, your practice, and all of the wonderful things that you bring to this world.
Can I tell you, no matter how often I listen to that meditation, it still takes me into the zone. I can't tell you how much. I have to say that you can find it on a lot of my albums on the americameditating.org website, whether it's on the journey within, or if it's on Inclusion Revolution Together with Love album, or if it's on the Om Shanti album. That's a meditation that I take with me everywhere I go. So you can find it, and everything we offer is for free. Of course, you know, we do voluntary contributions for our mission, but you know, it's all free, no? Everything that's free is actually a blessing.
And we'll be back with more of Sister Jenna after these words on the Olden Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Sister Jenna, and we're talking about her practice, the Brahma Kumaris practice, about her mom, Gita, and about all of the work that she does. Tell us about America Meditating and your current theme on that show, The New Normal.
America Meditating was one of the 21 initiatives that I spearhead in Washington, D.C. On June 10th, 1999, my daddy ma, Daddy Prakashmani, who was the head of the Brahma Kumaris at the time, she had visited D.C. and the mayor had given her a proclamation declaring June 10th to be Daddy Prakashmani Day. So every year we initiated something that supported her lifestyle and her values. And one of them was America Meditating, where we asked people to pause at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. for peace. And about a year or two later, Victor, I just had this very strong inspiration because my mother was recovering from cancer and she had very severe stage of cancer. And I saw her laying around the house and was thinking, how do I get her involved in more service so she doesn't feel that she's useless? So we went online, got this radio online program, and then started it, everyone. And we started it with 15 minutes. And she said, Jen, could you just do a little bit and let me get used to it? And needless to say, she never got used to it. And I got stuck with it. And where we started with 15 minutes, we were getting like David Lynch, Byron Katie. And after about 3 months, we realized that there must have been something in the energy between me and my mom, because we were hosting American Meditating Radio at the beginning before her dementia kicked in. So now she doesn't really. And so when we started to host America Meditating, it was between the both of us. She would read poems, say some words of wisdom, and everyone remembered Sister Gita in the interview. Never me. Never me. They all remembered her. And so America Meditating has been now, it's now reached its 8th year, and we've done over 1,800 shows, and we've hosted 7 retreats. And it's just been magical. It's just been magical. So it's one of my hobbies that I love to do, where I interview amazing folks, and I'll be interviewing you. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And that can be heard at americameditating.org, correct?
Correct. It's you can hear it on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart. We're all over the place.
Wonderful, wonderful. You also founded the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Museum 1 and 2. Please tell us about those museums.
So one of the things that I don't like to do is proselytize, because I feel like everybody has their knowledge. And in my teachings of the Brahma Kumaris, it's so knowledge-based. So my great-great-grandfather that started the Brahma Kumaris, Brahma Baba, used to say, in big cities, open up museums. So I did that. I opened up the meditation museums in Silver Spring, one in Virginia. We just closed down the one in Virginia due to the pandemic, but the one in Silver Spring is still opened. And so the meditation museum invites you to basically walk in and find who you need to be through the artworks and the installations. And it's the most beautiful gift the nation's capital could ever receive. It's such a beautiful space.
Wonderful. How can people find out more about those museums?
Meditationmuseum.org.
How has Alzheimer's affected your mother, Sister Gita, and how has caring for her with this challenge affected you?
Massive. For one, my mother was always very eccentric anyway, as you know, her background, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation. So she was always very animated, and she was always very different than I am. I'm very conservative, I guess, a little bit on the old-fashioned discipline side. And she's like the earther kit, you know, let the whole world needs to look at me when I walk into a room, you know. And so when she started to act differently, I just thought it was just the way she is. So I was like, why don't you just behave? Stop being like that. And she would just look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. But then my colleagues and my friends and family then started to say, don't you think you need to check her? I think she has Alzheimer's or dementia. And I think it was when she took our car from the meditation museum and crashed it in somebody's house that I had the wake-up call, and I went, wait, something is wrong here. She literally drove the house and the car in the person's house. So then I went, wait, we had to go get her checked. And so that's been hard, everybody. She's my mother, my friend, my teacher, my business partner. You know, she was everything. And when she lost her memory and her mind and her faculties, I lost all of that. And I didn't have children in this lifetime. I love them, but I love them when they belong to other people. And now I'm finding that I'm having to be this person for this adult who's become a child. And long story short, I don't know if I'm really taking very good care of myself fully as yet. We had to relocate from our ashram in McLean, Virginia, just about a month ago. And we found this beautiful property about 25 minutes away on 9 acres of land, from a 5-bedroom house to a 9-bedroom house. And the irony is, she's living with me now in my bedroom. And the only reason why I do that is she's going to be scared to be put in another room. Now, we have aides and we have people who can help her, but she cannot live by herself. So just last night alone, she was talking to so many people in her sleep and in her dream that every half an hour or 45 minutes, I was scared out of my sleep. So she's in one bed and I'm in the other bed. And I feel like, you know, I won't have her longer. I won't have her that long. I don't know, another 10 years, another 20 years. I don't know. And I guess if I have to be inconvenienced or if I have to be tested, okay, let me be tested. Because nothing, absolutely nothing in the world replaces the love of a mother.
What advice would you offer to those caring for elderly and infirmed mothers and fathers, and especially those dealing with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia?
Talk to people who are going through it. They're a big comfort. Secondly, have good friends who can support you and take you away from the insanity when it gets a little bit too much. Be easy on yourself when you find that you don't have the patience or the virtues to accept what life has given you as a gift. And ever so often, kick yourself into gear and have the common sense to just say, you know what? I don't care if she was a good mother or a bad mother. She's my mom. There's a reason why she's in my life. Let me learn how to love more.
Absolutely. As I had mentioned in our introduction, I had lost my mom January of 2020, and she had a form of dementia, not Alzheimer's. But it inspired me to write a poem for Mother's Day of 2017 before she had passed. If I may, I'd like to share that with you and everyone listening today who is dealing with moms who are having these types of problems and dads who are having these types of problems. I entitled it, When the Child Becomes the Parent. She gave me life and delivered me into this wondrous world. She took my hand and guided me as the mysteries unfurled. She taught me to be loving, and all the time she smiled. Now the child becomes the parent, and the parent the child. She encouraged me to study and learn all that I could. She taught me to be confident while doing what was good. She urged me to have faith when life's challenges beguiled. Now the child becomes the parent, and the parent the child. She taught me to be compassionate, a most important teaching. She taught me loving kindness. Her gift was future reaching, as now she needs these back from me, as lost memories are filed. For the child has become the parent, and the parent the child. I share that with total compassion and bless all of you who take care of your mothers and fathers in each precious day to be joyful and loving. Thank you for allowing me to share that, Sister Jenna.
It was so beautiful, and I can so relate to that. You have no idea.
You know, we discussed caretakers, especially taking care of parents and taking care of those who are elderly and infirm, taking care of themselves. Do we all need to also take more care of our emotional wellness?
We do need to take care of our emotional wellness, but I think some of us are not always so good at that. Emotional wellness has a lot to do with keeping your thoughts optimistic, pure, benevolent, peaceful, and happy. And we don't always do that to ourselves, no?
Absolutely.
So it's time to grow into that space. And again, for me, friendship is a big thing. Have those friends that will have your back. The other day, I was talking to my friend, Trina White from See Good TV. And I was telling her, look, I'm just going to find us an island for just a handful of us friends to just live on. Because people are getting just meaner day by day. And I was just saying that we don't have the language. We don't remember how to emotionally take care of ourselves by just having well wishes for another person. That's all we have to do. Keep practicing good wishes and pure feelings for people, and you will take care of your emotional state.
And how may we reach that also during our meditation practices?
I will have to say, I know because of my teachings of Raja Yoga meditation, it has set the tone. I wake up every day at 3:30, 4 o'clock. I have a morning class at 6:30. I pause every hour on the hour for traffic control to remember that I'm a peaceful soul. And I go back to Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, which means I am peace. And as I navigate myself throughout the day, I don't leave that place of truth that I am this pure soul. I am a peaceful soul. And the effort is to bring that through every choice you make as much as you can. Now, you're never going to do it 100%, but celebrate when you do it 5%, 10%, 20%. So, of course, my recommendation is Raj Yoga meditation, but whatever is your belief or whatever you feel comfortable with, don't just listen to the words of your teachings. Feel the words of your teachings and bring those feelings into your actions.
One of the practices that I engage in and that I have friends who engage in is to keep a notepad. I know people use their texts and computers. I'm a little old-fashioned, and I keep a notepad or a notebook handy. And if a thought comes into my mind that I want to process or think about, I'll make a note of that thing. And if it's something that I have to address immediately, I'll continue to allow the words to flow. And if not, it's something I'll put aside and then open that book up later and reread that. Is there a practice similar to that that you have?
No, we don't have a book, but we do have a love letter from God called the Murli every day. And it starts off in India where it's read there. It's a 3-page sort of a document, but it's really a love letter. When Rama Baba was alive, he was the founder of the Brahma Kumaris. He would channel the energy of God's teachings. And so those teachings that came from 1965 to 1969 are the same teachings that we read every day. Here's the best part, because we believe in collective resonance and collective transformation. The same class that was read, let's say today in India, is the same class that's read when it gets to Hawaii, you know, which I think might be the last place that actually reads the Murli because of the time zone. So that means in throughout the world, the 120 countries that we're located, the vibration of that teaching is spread at a very unified collective level. And so we believe a change is definitely coming.
That's beautiful. Can you share that with us?
It's about 45 minutes long.
The context, the essence of it.
The essence is it starts off with God sharing with you. Let's say, for example, he'll open up and say, "Sweet child, always remember that you're a soul and remember me alone." And then in the second part to it, it'll say, "Well, here's a question. What will it take for you to no longer be affected by the waste thoughts or the negative vibrations of others?" Then you think about that. Then he'll give you the spiritual answer. "Well, when you practice self-consciousness, nothing can affect you." And then the rest of the whole teaching would be about like a conversation between the soul and God. It's sort of like this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, but it's the soul having a conversation with the Supreme Soul and working out that issue within. And then at the end of the teaching, there's a blessing. So he'll give you a blessing such as, "May you be a world benefactor who continues to share her light through every life that she comes across." And then you kind of close with that blessing and you go, yeah, I will do that. I will share my light with every soul I come across. So that's how the teachings are every day. And it's for 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday, every day. And there's no holidays.
That's wonderful. So in essence, by reading this, you're setting the tone for the entire day and doing it on a collective basis that goes around the world.
Can you believe it? Over a million of us will be churning and thinking about the class of that day. And especially with all the changes and so many things being done online, now it's even 10 times more so.
I wrote a poem many years ago when I first started going to yoga classes and attending these weekend gatherings, these intensives at a Zen monastery in upstate New York. And I started feeling that collective energy. This was in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And I started feeling that collective energy, and it manifested in a poem called "The Power of One," which, with your permission, I'll share with you now. It says, "The energy flows from the love of the sun and charges a soul, the power of one. That energy shared with a spirit that's new, a heart opens up, the power of two. Ebbing and flowing from women to men, hearts on the wavelength, the power of 10. And when all of the millions with compassion run, the birth of the new mind, the power of one."
Oh, wow. That reminds me of a program I did a few years ago called "The Power of One." And it was all about, if you really make that change in you, there's so much you could do in the world. And we don't need to wait for leaders for changes to occur. We just have to be the change that we wish to see in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The wisdom of Sister Jenna. We'll be back with more of Sister Jenna after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Sister Jenna. Sister Jenna, how may we find in this crazy world, in this world of the pandemic, in this world of divisiveness, in this world of othering, this horrible othering that takes place, how can we find unity and compassion and love?
Start with unifying your own feelings. Start with unifying your own emotions. Start with looking at where your differences are inside of yourself, for your spouse, for your in-laws, for your children, for your next door neighbor, for your lovers, for your government. Just start with that. And when you are able to identify what it takes to find unity within yourself, then you'll understand why the world is in that condition, because it requires a lot of attention, it requires consistency, and it really requires genuine concern. And I think until we reach that stage, we will not see unity in the world. It'll be a nice idea. If a pandemic has not brought us together, then I don't know what else will. And so you can see, like, what's been happening with the pandemic, that when you spend too much time with yourself, eventually the soul starts to travel to the real core of the soul's personality. And so if we haven't done the work and we haven't taken care of the soul, then we're going to bump into the algae that we've been feeding. And then that's going to take us some time to purify, whether it's going to be through tragedy or love. It will have to be purified. Only when a soul becomes pure, it will be liberated and it will go home to God. Or, you know, you can take this time of solitude or reflection, of great transitioning, to just allow the soul to surrender to its original qualities and truths. So when you start to feel the original essence of the soul, the love and the purity and the peace, then you recognize this is how we really are. This is how God made us. So until we unify our own thoughts, we will not be unified in the world. So anytime you have a problem with somebody, anytime you have a problem with something, check yourself first. And once you can adjust to that vibration, you're helping the world to become more united.
And how may we share that vibration? When we get to that place, how may we share that with others?
It happens automatically. Whoever you are, whatever you are, that's what's going to spread as an energy. If somebody thinks of you, they will pick up the vibration that you are, because your vibration spreads through your personality. Let's say if somebody sees you and they say, oh, I just love Victor. He's the nicest, warmest, most compassionate guy. I could think of you. I'm in Timbuktu and I think of you. And when I think of you and I see your face or your image, what touches the soul in my mind are your qualities. So you're serving me even though I'm not in front of you. But if you were arrogant and egoistic and angry and lustful and greedy and didn't care anything about me, but once in a while you're sweet, even when I think of you, I'll remember your negative traits more than your positive ones. So I don't have to be in front of you giving you vibrations for peace and harmony. I've got to be that peace and harmony. And whenever you think of me, you will feel that. Or wherever I go, I will take that energy with me. Or if I sit in meditation and those vibrations radiate far and wide, then I know it's going to serve the cells of my body, the environment of where I'm living, the nature, the city, the state, the country, the universe, the ethers.
And what about the extension by acts of kindness?
I think that's not a big deal. I think we were meant to be kind. I sometimes chuckle when it's a big deal for somebody to do charity or for somebody to be kind to another person, when that's actually who we are. But the fact that we have to do a program called Acts of Kindness or Random Acts of Kindness tells us how far removed we are from who we are. We're supposed to be kind. Mm-hmm. I just moved into this new house and my neighbors are already kicking up a storm about me and all these people and cars. And that's my life. My life is big. I'm not one person living in a house, you know? And I thought, is this how you welcome your neighbors? You come in and you accuse them of this and that. And again, they're not being themselves. Now I'm the one that have to be myself and continuously find the love and the kindness to be for them, you know? And so acts of kindness are who we are supposed to be. And we don't need an initiative for that. And the kinder you are, the easier your life will become. Even when they're not kind to you, your kindness will become your protection.
Thank you for saying that. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Tell us about your new album, the Om Shanti album. Tell us about that, please.
I love this album. I was in India on the mountaintop, myself, Ricky, Grammy Award winner Ricky Cage, thanks to Marla Maples, Donald Trump's second wife, who introduced me to him, because America Meditating Radio sponsors these retreats every year. And so I had sponsored this retreat 2 years ago in India when we could travel. And so I met Ricky Cage in India, and he had actually performed for the Brahma Kumaris, a big, big concert. But then Ricky and I got really close, and he wanted to do a sort of a spoken word album. So I wrote the lyrics of inspiring words, motivational words, and then he laid the music on it. And everybody, it's absolutely fantastic. I love this because this kind of shows who I am, you know, the kind of person that is very east and west, in and out, a balance of skin and a balance of spirit. And so the Om Shanti album has about 11 tracks. You've got tracks that are focusing on moving forward no matter what, vibrations of love, Om Shanti, of course, You're a Diamond. There are other tracks like Never Give Up, Never Let, you know, Never Give In, Just Keep Going, Just Keep Flowing. I just recommend everybody, if you haven't gotten that album, go on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, or get a copy online. It's going to be one of those albums that you play on a Saturday morning when you're getting the house in order or you're working out on your treadmill. It just keeps pumping up your mind and reminding you how to think in a positive way.
You also have a special event coming up on June 12th at Om Shanti Village. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's our new home, and I've invited some close friends to come and give us blessings online. So from Naveen Jain, who's a scientist and a world mover, to Carolyn Mace, Marianne Williamson, futurist Jean Houston, Carlton Bishop Pearson, Sister Shivani, to name just a few. So these are my friends who are coming on June 10th. You can sign up on our website on meditationmuseum.org and basically join us for our homewarming. So I just want everyone's blessings and good wishes. And I've called it Om Shanti Village because my whole life is all about Om Shanti.
Wonderful. Sister Jenna, please tell our listeners one more time where they can find that all about you and the amazing and wonderful work that you give to this world.
Well, you know, here on your show, they can definitely find out more. All of the discussions that we've had, everybody stick to Victor's website and station so that, you know, the work that he's putting in, you're able to support it. So many times I've done these interviews and sometimes people just don't stay on the platform. They keep running here, running there, running there. I don't know why. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to Unlimited Destinations or this whole thing and stay right there. You'll see my bio, websites and everything. And let him know how well you enjoyed this conversation and share this link with your friends and let them know that this was a conversation that moved you about mothers going through with dementia or daughters living with mothers with dementia. Look at the sacrifice I made. I've got 9 bedrooms and I decided my mother still has to stay with me in mine just so that she could be okay. Again, I don't know how long I'm going to have her. She's not even 80 years old yet and she's suffering with dementia and Alzheimer's. So I think we need to really become genuine, sincere people. Stop chasing after illusions. If anybody wants information on me, find it right here with Victor Furman.
Oh, thank you. That's so gracious of you. I am so grateful for you joining us this week and sharing your message and all of the wonderful work that you do. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm humbled. Thank you so much.
And listeners, I'm going to share something with you now. I shared this on Mother's Day several years ago, and I share it again on this anniversary of her passing as I reflect upon my mother's life and how her wisdom shaped me. It's called Life Lessons I Learned from My Mother. Once when I had a very bad toothache and the dentist was not available, my mother said, "Take comfort in the knowledge that the pain will pass." She was right. She taught me that the thermostat on an oven is not always accurate, and to set the temperature 25 degrees higher. She was right. She taught me it is better to have people laugh with you than at you. She was right. She taught me to be generous, both materially and spiritually. She was right. She taught me the proper way to hug is heart to heart. She was right. She taught me that no matter how difficult times were, we never wanted for the things we truly needed. She was right. She taught me that it's okay to grieve after losing a loved one and that tears are very powerful medicine. She was right. And she taught me, above all, to love. She was right. My mother was a deeply spiritual woman who taught her children to be responsible while being compassionate and loving. I am grateful for her shaping the man that I have become and for her deep and abiding love. She'll never be further away than my heart. To all mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. And to all the children out there, love, honor, and appreciate your mothers. They are the greatest gift you will ever have in your life. Thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.